Okay, welcome into another edition of the Maize and Brew podcast here from a candlelit, I should say, Maize and Brew HQ. I am your host tonight, Anthony Broom. Tonight, today, whenever you're listening. Chris and Luke are not here today. We decided to take a week off from the brewcast. We will be doing a live stream on Thursday for the NFL draft with... And this is breaking news. You're getting breaking news right off the bat today here on the Maize and Brew podcast. We will be doing the live stream on our YouTube and our Twitch channels with a charity aspect added to it that goes to our friends over at Chad Tough. So hopefully you guys will check that out. I'll have more details on that later in the show. But this week for our Monday into Tuesday show, it's just going to be me here. And I went to our Discord, which you guys need to sign up over there. Get on there. It's totally free. It's basically like a message board for like-minded Michigan fans, or some not so like-minded. We like to take our conversations off-platform, sometimes off Twitter, off Facebook, definitely off Facebook, off of the website. It's our little safe space, so to speak. We don't allow much bullshit in there, so... Definitely check into that. But I asked those guys over there for some questions. I got one question from the Maize and Brew Twitter account. So this won't be a long show. And it will mostly, I'm guessing, be football related. A lot of these I've looked over. Yeah, they're all football. So there might have been a basketball one snuck in there. But so we're just going to hop right into it here. This is from Ryan G. Will. And he asks, what do you currently think is the weakest slash most worrying position for Michigan? Conversely, what is the strongest? I'll start with the weakest. I mean, to me, it's probably... that's a loaded question. Because here's the thing, right? They were so bad last year that you could go to any position group and be concerned. How about this? I'll give you one on each side of the ball. For me, I think I'm most concerned about the tight end room because it seems like the best tight end you have has two hands made out of cast iron skillets. Eric Aull has had troubles catching the ball. I know they think Luke Schoonmaker can do some things there. Matthew Hibner is someone that the staff has spoken about before as an ascending player. It's kind of crazy that, and I know the offense has changed and the responsibilities have changed, but the tight end was such, like think about the tight ends right off the bat when Jim Harbaugh got here. Jake Butt, Zach Gentry, I'm missing some, Sean McEwen. There have been some good tight ends here and they've been used, but Nick Eubanks, a guy who I think will, if not get drafted, definitely be on an NFL roster by the end of the weekend, was good but underused, and they haven't used the tight ends a ton over the last few years. So I don't know. That's, to me, on offense. I know people have questions about quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line. I mean, there are questions all over this roster because they were so bad last year, honestly. So that would be it for on offense for me. On defense, you know, you think you have the guys at defensive tackle, right, with Chris Hinton, Mozzie Smith, but I'm waiting for those guys to step forward and be dudes and be, you know, starters that make a big impact on this team. Linebacker, I think they're going to find a way to be okay there. I like the linebackers they brought in. The cornerback room is a concern to me because I think the guys that you've brought in or the guys that are project to fill some of those roles, you know, they were three-star recruits, and we know... And that's we've seen those guys develop into big time, all Big Ten caliber type of players before. But when your whole position group is made of that, and I know they're waiting on guys like Andre Seldon and Darian Green Warren and players like that. I mean, cornerback to me, that's a big question right now. And I think they have their work cut out for them back there. So I would say for me, it's a combination between tight end on offense and cornerbacks on defense. So this is another one from Discord. This is from Venom22. It says, how good do you think Andrew Stuber is? He was an injury away from being a starter over Mayfield, who's going to be drafted on Friday. It could be Thursday, but he's right. It's probably Friday. I think Andrew Stuber is good. I'm not sure. I know that he's one of your best five. I know he'll be in that grouping, whether it's at guard or right tackle. I tend to believe, you know, I like having that size inside. There was the Ohio State offensive line a couple years ago that went like 6'7", 6'7", 6'5", across the middle of their offensive line. I think I like him a little bit better at guard. And then you put a guy like, you have Ryan Hayes at left tackle, Carson Barnhart at right tackle. I don't know. It's tough to say because I have a complicated outlook on what Ed Warner did for Michigan. Now, on one hand, four of the five starters from the offensive line 2 years ago are on NFL rosters. The fifth starter in Jalen Mayfield will be on an NFL roster by the end of this weekend. So, like, he squeezed every little drop out of those guys. But outside of Cesar Ruiz, I mean, I feel like those there was a little bit consistency-wise to be desired. So, especially with a guy like Michael Onwenu, who was up and down at Michigan, but then he goes to the Patriots. And literally, go check Pro Football Focus, arguably the best rookie in the league. And those type of guys aren't going to get the Rookie of the League honors from the NFL, but he was incredible last year as a rookie in New England. So how good is Stuber? All I can say about that is I think he's good enough to be in your top five, in your configuration of the best five guys. I will say this. Outside of Ryan Hayes, who I think to me, former tight end, like he is a left tackle. Everyone else on that offensive line or every other spot that can be filled, there is some positional versatility there. Maybe not so much with a guy like Chuck Filiaga, but everyone else, like they're talking about Zach Zinter playing center. He can play guard. Carson Barnhart can probably play tackle or guard. You know, Andrew Vastardis is a center. There are guys who can make an impact in multiple spots. So, and this is where it's a little more difficult with offensive line too, is that offensive, like you want your best five guys out there. But if your five most talented players don't have the chemistry, and chemistry is a big thing too. So you got to strike a balance between your five best and the five guys that are tied most together, which, you know, the chemistry comes from, and it's not, I like this guy playing next to me. And part of that's it. I mean, that's football's the brotherhood and things like that. But chemistry comes from repping together for a long time. And that's why that offensive line was really good a couple of years ago. Those guys had played together for at least 2 or 3 years. You know, that your Ben Bredesen's, your Michael Onwenu's, your Cesar Ruiz. That's my biggest concern about continuing to rotate guys in and out is that, yeah, you might feel good about your depth, but you don't. And this goes to every position. This is the running backs. This is the wide receivers. If you have a bunch of guys that you rotate in and out, but you don't have the guy or the group of guys, you kind of get a scattered-brained operation like we've seen the last few years. So we'll see what happens with all of that. This is also from Discord. Nice pun here. From Rich also on Discord. Who do you expect to take the biggest leap forward on the defense with a scheme and opportunity shift? I think that David Ojabo is going to be a really good football player. And I think that they're going to kind of, similar to a Josh Uche role, kind of that hybrid pass rusher. I know there's talk that maybe Aiden Hutchinson can drop back and rush from the linebacker position too. I'd love to see that because I think he is a first-round talent. And if he can showcase that, he's a scheme versatile prospect, and he stays healthy, I think that will be a guy we talk about as a first-round pick next year. But David Ojabo, to me, I kind of thought he would turn it on last year. Nobody turned it on last year. I think that this is going to be an aggressive. They're not going to stop being aggressive. So there are some tenets from the Don Brown mentality that will stay there. And that's why Jim went and hired guys from the Ravens to do this thing, because the Ravens are aggressive and bring pressure from everywhere too. But it is a scheme. I mean, totally different scheme. started from scratch in spring football. Like, we get that. So I think it's going to be David Ojabo. Daxton Hill, I'm waiting for. He's another guy I think could be one of those round one guys next year if he comes out. You know, he could play it. He could play safety. He could play in the slot. He could play cornerback. I really would just like to see them unleash him kind of a little bit this year too. So it's all going to be about opportunity. It's going to be about who seizes those opportunities. I don't know. There's a lot to sort out there right now. And this is what sucks. And here's a little bit of a tangent city deal here. I don't mind that they didn't. And I've talked about this on the podcast before with Luke and Chris. I don't mind that spring practice and spring football was kind of low key, that they were in the submarine this year. Because honestly, there's nothing you can take out of that anyways. It's super vanilla. It's super basic. A lot of times, some of the best players don't even play in the spring game or the open practice, whatever you want to call it. But I also, and I have no reservations about saying this, it is a candy-ass move to not even attempt to, you know, you tweet out your little 120 seconds of highlights via Twitter and that's it. I think that's weak. You know, this is a, Michigan found a way to stream, didn't find a way. Like, they're one of the most lucrative and athletic departments in the country. Found a way to stream the senior night celebration and the Big Ten championship, all that stuff that happened when Michigan Hoops won the Big Ten title this year, the men's hoops team. You mean to tell me you couldn't get a couple cameras out there and just throw a live stream up? I think it's weak. I think there's the lack of buzz right now, I think, is hurting them more than helping them, because what a lack of buzz does is we know how kind of toxic things are right now, at least in the fan base. When you don't have that information out there, it creates, to choose my words carefully here, it just creates a scenario where the slinging of the bullshit and the negativity, like, people feel like they're justified to continue doing that because there's no information out there to the contrary. But on the other hand, if there was this positive buzz and so-and-so's having a good camp, people would poo-poo it anyways. So this is disappointing. God, I mean, these are all football questions. I'm struggling to even get. I get it. If you're burned out on this program right now, I totally get it. You're totally justified in feeling that way. So, but we will move forward.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Oh, I do have a basketball question here. This one is from Cameron570 on Discord. Why do you think Franz is taking so long to decide what he wants to do? Usually a player of his caliber would have just declared by now. Also, who do you think is poised for the biggest second-year leap? Okay, so let's take this first question apart first. I think that Franz will go to the NBA. I don't think that it's going to be... I don't think he's really waffling on that right now. You got to realize this. And someone can educate me. Someone can angrily tweet at me. Someone can email me, as people are wont to do. I don't have a ton of guys declared for the draft so far, at least the college guys. I watch ESPN and I'm on the internet all day. It's my job. And I don't know a ton of outside of the obvious guys that have declared yet. I mean, here's what you need to realize, especially for a guy like Franz. First of all, I don't know if he's, I mean, there have been finals and stuff going on campus and things like that. I don't know if he's going back to Germany. I don't know what his process has been like. But Franz is a guy who, you know, think about it this way. I think that how that season, and this is not, again, I'm not inside his head. I don't have any inside info. I do think that the way that season ended weighed pretty heavily on him, especially given how he played in that last game. And you add in the fact that you just spent a month in Indianapolis, which I hear is a lovely city. I'd love to go, but you know, Michigan athletics has, or Michigan football would usually necessitate that trip, and it hasn't happened yet. Here it's a lovely city, but I don't even know if a lot of people in Indianapolis would want to spend a whole month there, at least bubbled in a hotel. That's no disrespect to Indy. Like I said, I hear it's great. You spent in this fire fest bubble for the NCAA tournament, Big Ten tournament. You sacrificed so much this year. I mean, the season. Think about what Michigan went through this season. You're shut down for 3 weeks. You lose Isaiah. I think it was a pretty mentally taxing year. And even, God, even it's, as I sit here and record this, we're what, 3 weeks removed from that game? In less than a month. I think there's a lot of palate cleansing going on. And when you look at the fact that Michigan is kind of hitting, they're hitting the transfer portal right now. They're looking at guards. They're looking at guys to come in. It's only been guards right now, as far as I know. There's the scholarship allotment for next year is currently full. I don't think they would be actively pursuing, we're kind of in an age of college free agency here. I don't think they would be actively pursuing these transfer guards that they're in on, the guy from Coastal Carolina and the Georgia guard, which both names escape me right now. Again, it's late on a Monday night. I don't think they're doing that if they don't expect a roster spot to be open. And that could still happen from a transfer to one of those lower-tier guys, maybe a surprise transfer from somewhere. Remember, none of us expected David DeJulius to transfer last year. So I think Franz will go. I think a mental break, especially for, you know, a kid like him, an international prospect, I think that maybe it just need to let it calm down for a bit. So we'll see. And Hunter Dickinson, I mean, the program says that Hunter Dickinson is weighing his options as well. So I want to throw that in there. I don't expect him to go pro, but it is something that's being discussed. So those are our Discord questions. I did have one from Twitter, and then we'll close on this. Sorry, it's going to take me a second to pull it up because, of course, the tab closed out on me. Stalling. It's an NFL draft question from, sorry, guys. I'm having tech issues on the air. All right. This is from Zach Woodruff 3. This is pertaining to the NFL draft. And I'll say, I don't know if this is, I don't know if he's a fan of this team, but I'll answer the question anyways, because like I said, we are doing, I'll give you the deets on the live stream here in a bit. So Zach asks, with no picks until the third round and a rebuild looming, where do you go as the GM of the Houston Texans? Whew, they have 8 picks. I looked this up. Nothing before the third round. I think their first pick is 87 overall. I don't know. I could be wrong there. I got to, again, poor research on my part. But you don't have a pick in the first 2 rounds of the draft, and you're terrible, and who knows what's going on with Deshaun Watson. I don't know what you do. I think that franchise is about to reach some really ugly. I mean, it's all a mess right now. DeAndre Hopkins gone last year. J.J. Watt gone now. Deshaun Watson, who knows what's going on with his legal situation? Who knows if he plays football this year? Who knows if he plays football for them ever again, whether by legal means or by being traded out of there? It's a mess right now, and you have a youth pastor or a former team chaplain, whatever it is, running the team, which is an absolute joke. He kind of little-fingered his way to the top. The ownership, I think, is being held hostage like Richard Simmons. I have no idea what's going on there. I don't even know their head coach's name. Honestly, not even going to look it up because it's going to downplay the bit. But, yeah, it's a mess. You have 8 picks. Here's what I subscribe to. And I'm a Lions fan. People know that. I feel this way about really any team. I covered the Minnesota Vikings for 3 years before I came on to this site here, or full-time. And something that Rick Spielman, their general manager, was always big on was finding a way via whether it's trading players or trading down in the draft to get yourself to 10 picks. Because you get to 10 pick, I mean, they're $1, they're the scratch-offs. They're pull tabs. They're the more lotto tickets you have, the more chances you have to hit on those guys. Like I said, I know Nick Caserio has the ties to the New England, the Patriot ways there now, so to speak. That's a disaster in its own right. But yeah, I don't know what the Texans are gonna do. I think that's gonna be a team that, I mean, look at all the teams in their division now. Indianapolis, they'll go as far as Carson Wentz takes them, but with Chris Ballard and how he usually does in the draft, and they're going to be a factor. Jacksonville is about to have Trevor Lawrence. I don't know how this Urban Meyer thing is going to go. I tend to believe you're probably looking at like a 5-11 season this year and like a 6-10 next year. Then he retires and like the real coach comes in. Again, we'll see. Clip the tape 2 years from now. I might be cold taking myself here. I don't know if it's going to work out. But you know, they have the picks and a ton of cap room. The Titans, we'll see what happens without Arthur Smith there now. Ryan Tannehill has played well, but we'll see how long that continues. But I expect them to be around for a bit because Derrick Henry's a beast, and I think Mike Vrabel's one of the 4 or 5 best coaches in the league right now. So they're in trouble. Not enough people are talking about, well, no one's talking about the Texans because they're going to be a non-factor for a while. So I don't know what you do. You're the future of your franchise kind of hinges on this Deshaun Watson thing. I tend to believe that, I feel like if he's cleared of anything, if he gets moved, I kind of think it'll be next year now, but I don't know. This is, with what's going on with him, football should be the last thing on anyone's mind there. So those are all the questions. Thanks to everyone on Discord, on Twitter, who sent those in. I want to give you guys a little bit of insight into this draft stream that we'll be doing on Thursday night. It is on our YouTube channel at Maize and Brew. I believe the handle is Maize and Brew SBN on YouTube. But we will go live at 8 o'clock when the draft starts. Myself, Luke Giardi will be with me, Steven Ostentovsky, and we'll kind of have a rotating slot of guests throughout the night. I know Chris Castellani will be there, a couple other people in the works. It will be for Chad Tuff. There will be a link in the description to donate to them on our behalf. Other than that, like we're not streaming the draft. We're basically your second screen experience. So we'll be talking about the picks. It's basically just a hangout. Like we'll be, if you want to mute Mel Kiper and listen to what Chris Castellani thinks about the Detroit Lions pick or whatever, you know, we'll see. I think that could be a lot more fun than Mel Kiper and his pumpkin pie obsession. But it should be a good time. We're excited to work with the people over at Chad Tuff. We don't have a goal. We don't have a goal to hit. Anything you can give out of the goodness of your heart, just come out, have fun. You can submit questions via Twitch and YouTube. You know, we'll be chatting with you, putting your questions up on screen. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be there from 8 to whenever the first round ends, which is usually around midnight. So, and I think YouTube gives us like a 4-hour limit to be on anyway. So that should work out pretty well. Excited for it. Pumped. Like I said, it's going to be me, Luke, and Steven, and special guests throughout the night. Who knows who will pop in. So that's going to be what's going on there. And that's going to close it out for us tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony T. Brew. Follow the website at Maize and Brew. And wherever you get our shows, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, please, 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 please spread the word. Like us. Leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star review. Give us some good feedback. It helps us in the algorithm. We love our other Michigan podcasts too. But, you know, someone looks for a Michigan podcast, like to bump us up in the algorithm a little bit. And that is helped by your feedback, your comments, all of that good stuff. So definitely be able to do that. Check us out on the Discord page. The link is pinned on our YouTube or on our Twitter. God, there are so many freaking links. I'm losing my mind here. You know where to find us, okay? You know where we're at. Definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. A lot of good stuff on there. Steven has been putting his freshman features up on there. A lot of stuff going on. So, signing off from Maize and Brew HQ. Again, appreciate your guys' time, and we will talk to you again soon.